జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ బిహారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ బిహారీ జయ రాధా జయ కుంజ గోపీ జన గిరిబాధారి జయ గిరి భరధారి గోపీ జనవాలా జయ గిరిబాధారి జయ గిరి వరధారి గోపీ జనవాలా జయ గిరిబాధారి జయ గిరి వరధారి జన రంజన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోరనందన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోరనందన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోరనందన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన జయ బ్రజ జన యమున తీరవన చారి జయ కుంజ బిహారి
జయ కుంజ బిహారీ
माधव जय कुंज बिहाई जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहाई हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parirajakacharya Shruta Shruta Shishimad His Divine Grace Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parirajakacharya Shota Shota Shishimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bo Hare Krishna. So welcome, all of you. Is anybody here for the first time to the Sunday program? Awesome. So we have a gentleman in back there with the nice haircut. What's your name? Trent. And how did you learn about the temple here today? Google. And you've been reading that book that's right next to you. All right. And where'd you get the Bhagavad Gita? Okay, cool. And have you read a bit of it so far? You started? Read the whole thing. All right. And there's a gentleman in front of you. What is your name? Hemang. Okay. And where aap kaha se hai? Welcome, welcome. Anybody else? Yes? Ankita. Yes? From Florida. Ankita from Florida Key. Welcome. Anybody else here? First time? Yes. What's your name? Nico. All right. I have a friend named Nico. His mother is name, you might have heard of his mother. His mother's name is Vanna White. Yeah. Any chance Hare Krishna? Nico, the son of Vanna White. But what's your name? Nico. And you're from? Okay, wonderful. Well, thanks for coming. Hare Krishna. So every Sunday we have a little program here. We do kirtan, we have Gita discussion, mainly usually on Bhagavad Gita. And we have our nice, delicious vegetarian dinner for in the park, party in the park. So for those here for the first time, let's hear some questions that you may have, and then we can see we can start from there. Have you ever read that orange book that he's got, Bhagavad Gita? It's not always orange, but... Any questions you have from your investigation? Okay, not off the top. You didn't expect to be quizzed right away. Okay. And then in Trent? Is it Trent? What? No questions. And Hemang? Okay, that's it. So the gentleman said, in Vedic culture, God is abstract, but we tend to be worshiping human beings. So what does that mean? Okay, we'll go over that. And Ankita, any question? Okay. So in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts off, he says, Bhuyaiva Mahabaho. He says, again, oh mighty arm, Arjuna. Shreno me paramam bachaha. Yateham priyamanaya vakshami hitakam yaya. I will speak to you this most confidential knowledge, which is for your benefit. Na me vidu suragana prabhavam na maharshaya. So neither do the devas. Namevi du suragana, neither do the devas, the controlling deities of the universe. The suragana. Namevi du suragana, prabhavam na maharsha, know my origin or my opulences, nor do the great rishis. Aham madir hi devanam maharshinam sarvashaha, because I am their origin in all respects. For example, can you fully understand the birth of your father? Yes. Because you came. So he's saying, they came after me, so they don't understand me. Yo mama janma nadim cha viti loka maheshwaram. Asamuda sarvamarteshu savrapapai pramuchate. Let's see, I just have to... Yes, we're on track. So, like many chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he studied in his school. He went to school for 64 days. And he learned the 64 arts. So one day he mastered math. One day he mastered all the different 64 arts. I don't remember. Does anybody know all the 64 arts? Because I don't. So he mastered everything that maybe would take 20 years or such. He mastered in one day for each topic. And so I'm sure he must have had a class on speech. How many of you have had a class on speech in college? So Krishna, he sometimes gives a little glorification of what he is about to speak on, like an introduction or some to bring out the flavor, some glorification of what he's about to speak. So he does that in chapter 7, he does that in chapter 9, now he's doing it in chapter 10 as well. And he starts off the Bhagavad Gita that way. He gives a whole summary in the second chapter, and he ends the Bhagavad Gita in the same way. He gives a final summary and conclusion. So, yo mama jam manadim cha. One who knows that I am without birth. Yo mam ajam anadim, without origin. Viti loka maheshram, and knows that I am the supreme controller of all planets. Loka maheshram. Asamuda samarteshu. Such, that is the only person who is unbewildered among conditioned beings. Beings that have to go through birth and death. Samartheshu, sarva papai pramuchate, and become free from all karmic debts, sins. Hare Krishna. That is the confirmation. It's like the gong. We'll continue on, because then it says, Bhudir jnanam asamoha dhamaksha tamashama sukam dukam bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam evacha ahimsa samata tushti stapodanam yashoisha bhavanti bhava bhutanam mata eva pritagvida. So he's describing various qualities that exist in this world, both good and bad qualities. So he says, Bhudir, intelligence. So what does intelligence mean? Somebody tell me, what is, Ankita maybe can tell me, what does intelligence mean? Like how many windows are in the Empire State Building? Is that intelligence? Knowing that knowledge? And what is wisdom? Okay. Thank you very much. So in the Gita, Krishna defines intelligence as distinguish reality from illusion. So the first step of intelligence is realizing that you're not the body. Because that is the illusion. If you are the body, Nico, if you are the body, then which body are you? The one you have today or the one you had 20 years ago? It's always changing. So how can that be the reality if it is always changing? We recognize that, yes, I was that being that was conscious of that body 20 years ago, but that body is not here, yet I'm here. Therefore, I'm not the body. And I can even sit back as an observer of the mind. The yogi is observing the mind. So bhudir jnanam, knowledge, our knowledge also is that it distinguish between reality from illusion. Bhudir jnanam asamoha, freedom from illusion. Dhamma, kshama, meaning control of the mind, control of the senses. So he describes all these qualities. And just like he has said earlier, they come from him. Therefore, they're not necessarily able to reveal him. Just like the son comes after the father, so the son can't really understand the birth of the father. They're preceded by him. And those things are preceded by Krishna. So they're not in itself sufficient to understand Krishna. So here in these first verses, he says, I'm unborn. And he also says that he is without origin. Elsewhere, Krishna says that those who are foolish, they don't understand how he is taking a human-like form, not understanding him as the origin of everything. Now, here's a question. Can you remind me your name again? Hemang, yes. Is the sun cold? No, why don't you think it's cold? Someone told you it was very hot. That someone, yes, someone has told you it was very hot. That's true. And there's even a higher level of realization. Better than someone telling you is? You experience it. Like you said, wisdom is something you experienced. So all you have to do is if you thank Krishna, you live in Texas and you want to know the sun is hot, you just go outside. And what does that tell us? It tells us that if you know something about the effect, then you know something about the cause. Can a cold sun give out hot sunlight? Does that make sense? That the sun is actually freezing cold. And if you go there, you'll turn into an ice cube really quick. What do you say? No, oh, he's PhD right here. Thank you very much. What is your name? Sri, PhD. All right. So that is called Satkaryavad, cause and effect. You know something about the cause by looking at the effects. So in this world, we see, what do we see? What do we see? People. Is it logical to conclude that the source lacks personhood? Does that make sense? That if the sun is hot, then the things that it produces also have heat. The source has a more pure form of that, more potent form of that. So I have a form, but I have a limited scope of the qualities of Bhagavan. So Bhagavan means six opulences. Van means to possess, and Bhaga means opulences. Bijasya, Ashwaryasya, there's different opulences. Beauty, what's another one? Wealth, what's another one? Knowledge, wisdom, fame, renunciation. So Albert Einstein, he was recognized for his beautiful form. No, is that right? No, okay. No, we got it wrong. His renunciation. No. He was celebrated and seen as an attractive figure, attractive being for his intelligence. We're still celebrating the intelligence of Albert Einstein, which, by the way, read Bhagavad Gita for the last 30 years of his life. PGI. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's recognized for his great renunciation. Is that right? Okay. No, for his power, his strength. The Terminator. Yes. So Arnold Schwarzenegger is recognized in that way. He has probably more strength than us. Albert Einstein has more intelligence than us. Marilyn Monroe, she's recognized for what? Her wit. She's very sharp. Don't debate with her. Her beauty. Now here's the question. If Marilyn Monroe was here, and you got to spend some time with Marilyn Monroe, but the soul had left the body. Anybody want to take that person to lunch? The soul had left the body. So what gave beauty to the body? The soul. As soon as the soul leaves the body, then you're calling up this guy. George, does anybody know where George works? The county morgue. He's the only one who... So everybody else, cover that with the bag. It used to be Marilyn Monroe, but now cover it with the black cloth. We don't want to see it. Hide it. It is disgusting. It is horrible. But previously, when the soul was there, oh, so beautiful, so amazing. So much attention, so much meditation. So what gave that beauty was the presence of the soul. Fame. We have like the Beatles. Who else is very famous? Actually, if you want to become very famous, what's the best way? Become famous. Does anybody know who is Miss America of 1996? How about 2006? How about 2016? Nobody even remembers. So-called such a big famous position, and nobody can remember your name after 1 or 2 years. So not really a claim for fame. Now, who is famous after 2,000 years? Jesus. Great Vaishnava, great Bhakta. That's how fame becomes, is retained, become spiritual fame, become a great saintly person, a dharmatma, a righteous person. That kind of fame goes past time. So then there's beauty, wealth. You know, how much wealth do we have compared to like Bill Gates or Pablo Escobar? But it's fleeting though. You can't keep on to it. Lakshmi is known as Chanchala. She won't stay around. So we may have a certain amount of beauty, wealth, fame, power, and intelligence, but can we say we have all of those things? So like the ray of sunshine is just a spark. It's just a tiny, tiny, insignificant portion of the sun. But the sun has that same aspect, light, luminosity, and heat. So so much more of an infinite degree compared to the little ray of sunshine. So we understand that our source has all those qualities. Otherwise it would be illogical to say that I have personality, I have form. Now my form is limited. Now we may come to the material world hoping that as we walk down the street, everybody is looking, wow, that is the most beautiful person I've ever seen. We may hope for that. That is the position of God, all attractive. That is the definition of the name Krishna. And similarly, Bhagavan, the possessor of all six opulences. So Krishna in the 12th chapter, he describes that he has two features, as well as in the 9th chapter, many other chapters as well, that he has his impersonal side because you have the aspect of energy, and then you have the aspect of the energetic. And he says that all this energy rests upon him. Brahmano pratishtaham. That Brahman rests upon Bhagavan. So there is one abstract aspect of God, but there is also a very concrete aspect of God. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanti Tatvidas. Yaj Gyanam Avayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shabdyate. So this same truth is recognized and called in three phases. So how many of you ever seen a train before? Has anybody seen a train? Sri PhD? Seen a train? Yes. Okay, if you just imagine you have some aborigines, some villagers who've never seen anything like a train before. And they heard that not too far from their village, there is a train station that is being built. And soon a train will be coming through for the first time. So the first group, second group, and third group. Okay, who's in the first group? Raise your hand over there. This is the first group. All you guys, raise your hand. You say, we are the first group. Okay, here's the second group. Say, we're the second group. And here's the third group. Third group. Okay, so train starts to come. First group. You see the train from far away. What do you see? Smoke. And light. And then you run home. You tell your friends and family what a train is. What is a train? Tell us. Smokes and lights. It's like a Wizard of Oz. Smoke and lights that rumbles the ground. Second group stays a little longer. So these guys are too excited to see that train. They just run home. So you guys, what do you see? The train pulls up. What do you see? Engine. So you see the engine car. Sri PhD. Say it louder. Windows. What else? Passengers. See the gears? the wheels and the gears. And then you guys go home, tell your friends and family what a train is. These guys are very curious. They get on the train. On the train, they go to the cafe. They have some chai. They feel the window, the wind, and they put their head out. They've only rode on a donkey before. They've never been on such a thing so fast. And then they meet the train conductor. And they see there's actually, behind this whole machine, there's a person. There's some intelligence behind everything. Because behind this light bulb, what's behind this light bulb? Behind the power. The powerhouse. What's behind the powerhouse? And what's behind that? There is a guy there working, the intelligence, making sure that it's all functioning. Brahmano pratishtaham. As Krishna says, everything is strung on me as pearls are strung on a thread. Now, can you see the thread on an expensive string of pearls? No. So Krishna, there is actually personhood behind everything. So in the Gita, Krishna says in the 7th chapter, I open up right there. Avyaktam vap avyaktam papanam manyate mam abhudaya param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was impersonal and have now assumed this personality. I become avyaktam to vyaktam, to abstract to concrete. Due to insufficient knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So this conception is imported from whom? This conception that God is simply abstract. Where does this come from? Do you know? Sripad Shankaracharya. Sripad Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. And he had a particular purpose. Like Buddha was also an incarnation, direct incarnation of Vishnu himself. He is known as the 9th avatar. Now, did Buddha teach Bhagavad Gita? Did he teach about Bhagavan? No. Did he teach about Atma, soul? Actually, what he taught was technically called Anatma, no soul, no self. Buddha came to reject the Vedas because people were killing animals in the name of religion. And so what he taught was called Upadharma. Upadharma means a sub-religious principle, meaning someone who actually has spiritual knowledge, you shouldn't have to tell him, don't kill animals. They should automatically understand that. It is self-evident. That instruction does not need to be given if there is some maturity of spiritual knowledge. Just like a baby who doesn't have maturity and knowledge doesn't understand that there's a battery in the clock. He doesn't understand that that thing is alive or operating because of the presence of the battery. And that battery can be put into different devices and you can understand the presence of that battery without opening it up, but by the activity itself. And similarly, those who have not yet developed maturity and knowledge will do not understand that the soul is present within the body of anything that is alive. That is what gives it its vitality. So instead of trying to reform it from within the institution, within the tradition, Buddha came to completely reject the tradition and just say, hey, we got to start it over. How many of you heard my example of the refrigerator and the cabbage? You've heard that? Refrigerator stuck in the cabbage? Yes. So the refrigerator, you go on a vacation, you left the cabbage inside, you unplug the fridge because you're a little penny pincher and you don't want to pay for the power bill while you're gone for 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. But then you forgot the cabbage was there in the refrigerator. So you can't just take the cabbage out. You have to clean it all up. Start fresh. So tato kalo samrite buddha samaha surad vishtam buddha anjana sutaha kikate shubha vishati. Therefore in the Bhagavatam, this 5,000-year-old text is predicting that God will appear in the avatar by the name of Buddha to reject the Vedas but to teach nonviolence. Things that we should actually already know. But he's saying, forget all this. You got it all wrong. Let's start fresh. And that's what the influence of Buddhism did in India, is that everybody became vegetarian, whether they're Buddhist or not. He actually had a huge effect on the land of India. Now, why is Buddhism not prevalent in India if it started there? Shankaracharya. How did Buddhism spread? Debate. How did Buddhism fled? Debate. Shankaracharya came and he taught something next level. Oh, beyond the nothing is the something. Beyond the zero is the one, that we're all one. It's all one. Oneness. There is Brahman. There is God. But God is just something abstract. I'm God, you're God, it's all God. Everything. Just oneness. So he taught one aspect of Vedic knowledge, the aspect of Advaita. And whenever it came to sections of the Vedas, which is huge, half the thing talks about that God exists. So whenever it talked about God being a being and a person and having personality and activities, then he would use what is called word jugglery. You know what word jugglery is? Can you do word jugglery? Okay, good. Good job. So word jugglery means that you take the secondary meanings of words in sentences that are very clear and very understandable, and you take another you pull out a meaning that out of the using grammatical rules, you pull out a different meaning. Now, if a sentence in Sanskrit makes no sense, then, according to the rules of grammar, you look at the secondary meaning of those words and you pull out the meaning. For example, there's a sentence in Sanskrit which literally says, the weapons walked in. But if you use the rules of grammar properly, the primary meaning doesn't make sense, but use the rules of grammar properly of Sanskrit, you'll see that it means soldiers or men with weapons walked in. Or the house is in the sea. The secondary meaning of those words in Sanskrit means the house is on the banks of the sea. So that is the appropriate use of secondary meanings. But then you have, when the primary meaning is very clear, and then to twist out, for example, Madhvacharya was very upset at his guru, because his guru made some, he said, the Lord's eyes are resplendent like a monkey's butt. And he said, no, you don't understand this Sanskrit. It is pankaja. Punk. You know punk? So punk means mud. Ja, born of. Pankaja, what is born out of the mud? Lotus. The Lord's eyes are resplendent like the lotus. So this impersonalist guru, he said, oh, this kind of offensive statement. But Madhvacharya, he knew what the actual meaning is, because the meaning was in the secondary use of grammar. So there are plenty of statements, like the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are two types of souls.
The condition and the liberated. 두아이마푸르쇼로케. Two persons. But then he introduces a third person. 우타마푸르샤스토아니야. Paramatmetidahrita. There's a third person and he is known as Paramatma, the super soul. And he is categorically different from the liberated and the conditioned soul. So he gives a very clear description that there is what is called dvaita, divine duality, that there's you and there's God. But so Shankaracharya, in order to present something that would be appetizing to the Buddhists who were already practicing something that did not include any sort of theism, any sort of idea of a personal God, he presented the Vedic theory erasing all the ideas of God through Sanskrit word jugglery. So he gave part of the picture, but an incomplete picture. And therefore you have all kinds of teachers from that lineage. Like one Mayavadi philosopher, he says, what is the problem with eating animals? It is just Brahman entering to Brahman. Because there is no real idea of personhood, then there is no idea of real morality or justice, because there is no persons being attacked or offended. But if you do have persons, then you can actually have a concept of morality. And so, who came after Shankaracharya? I think Madhvacharya was first. Or is it Ramanuja? Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya appeared in South India and Madhvacharya also in Udupi. And they presented refutations, Purvapaksha, refutation of the philosophy of Shankaracharya. Introducing from zero to one to two, that there's divine duality, that you do exist. It's not that I'm you, you're me, and that's it. As everybody has heard the joke that the devotees have pulled on the impersonalists. Everybody's know that one. Okay, there's many devotees have done this. They speak with somebody, maybe they're on a plane like Giriya Swami had done this, in Chicago or somewhere up there. Boston, yeah. And then I know another devotee did this on a plane. Devotee, Giriraj Swami was in Boston, and this man he met, he said, I'm you, you're me, we're all one. And he said, okay, well, the money in your wallet is mine, I need it now. And the foolish man became a victim of his own philosophy, and he had to cough up that money because he was determined, but then the next day he said, please, can I have it back? It was a lot of money I gave you and I need to pay my rent. He said, okay, you have to give up this foolish philosophy. So I know another devotee, same story, same thing happened. So you run into a lot of philosophical problems if it's just absolute oneness. It is like looking at that painting and you just say, no, it's not a painting, it's just a molecule. It is true, there's molecules there. You can analyze means a study of a particular section or part. And synthesize means you're looking at the whole. So analyze, synthesize. Advaita, that there is parts and a whole all together. Oneness and difference. So later on, that was introduced in its full completion by the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, who appeared 500 years ago, who basically all these personalities, although apparently teaching something different, were actually lifting society up and up to higher understandings. So Madhvacharya, all that stuff came to its complete fruition and conclusion in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, simultaneous oneness and difference. The Bhagavad Gita is like an essay on religion. You've got you have one school of mastery over the physiology of your body and senses and intelligence, and then you can enter trance. You have the religion of performing rituals
actually, the Karmakanda is very similar to modern humanism, modern scientific humanism, where it's a belief that if you could just, you know, understand reality, get everything, you can actually be happy if you just get all your ducks in a row and just, you know, you can master over the material objects and maybe perhaps live forever. So Karmakanda, that's, I hope I'm not making too many Sanskrit words here. So then there's, Jnana Yoga, the study of like philosophical study of the world and renunciation. Krishna describes all these different dharmas and describes how they ultimately end in him. The dharma of being impassionate, working in the world but not being attached to the fruits, disinterested. All these different type of religious systems, and describes how they can all end in him. But the end, he says, you can also just take the quick path and forget all religions and just surrender unto me. Sarva dharman prithaja, and I will free you from all sin. Do not fear. So Bhagavad Gita it very nicely shows how you can draw the essence of every type of philosophical religion and tradition, and then easily come to that essential path yourself. So we'll stop here, ask if there are any comments or questions. Is your first time here? No? So does that make any sense that God is a person, because persons must come from persons? You can't give what you don't have? Okay. Mukunda, please spare $1 million. He might have it. Who knows? He's a very capable guy.
I have a question, Prabhu.
Yes.
If Advaita is a philosophy that we do not subscribe to, then can you please help me understand the role of Advaita Acharya and why he's named Advaita?
Yes. So Advaita, Dvaita means two, and Advaita means one. But also Advaita means that being who has no equal. Asamudva, that's another, Asama Urdva. Asama means no equal. Sama, we get the English word same. Asama, urdva. No one is equal, no one's above. So Advaita means that person who has no two. There's nothing equal to him. So name for God. Yes. There's a microphone too. Advaitiya.
Which is infinity. As yes. You said, there is no one equivalent to Bhagavan.
Yes.
Advaita. Also, they say Advaita is not two different beings, because when two different beings comes an ego. So it's just one.
Yeah, so the word V-yoga is minus. You do Vedic math, V-yoga is minus. So what is yoga? Union. It means plus. So when you have yourself and you add Bhagavan, that is called yoga. So you can't have union if it's just one. It's actually two, Dvaita. It is not a getting rid of Buddhist concept. It is a concept of adding on. So when you're adding your connection to the Supreme, that is called yoga, linking. Any other reflections? Yes?
So Krishna is eternal, always has been and always will be.
Yes.
And at some point he will... In times in the past, he was all alone before he started the creation process.
Well, so, the material world is created, not the spiritual world.
Okay. So I guess what spurred, had him, what made him decide to start the creation process.
Yes, yes. So the why did he create the material world? Just the material world, it goes through stages of, it's like a, it's a seasonal thing. It goes, comes and goes constantly. But it is just like the, that the government, they spend money on educational programs, like, high school and middle school. They also spend money on, developing the roads, for various needs. But the government also spends money on prisons for people who don't want to follow the laws. So the material world is Durga. It is a difficult place. Ga means to go. Dur means difficult. So Durga is actually the superintendent of this little prison called the material world. Prabhupada said less than 9% of population exist here. So we're in the minority. Actually, Vaishnavas are the majority. Those who are lovers of God, they exist in the spiritual world. They are the majority. And it is said, Tripad, that three-fourths of material energy, of energy, exists in the spiritual world. So this is just a smaller section. But just like in every city or every state, there is a place for people to go who don't want to follow the laws of the state. And that place is called jail, prison. Here it is the material world. So those who don't want to, who want to do our own thing. For example, how many have heard of the story of Adam and Eve? So Adam was offered this apple. He said, if you take this apple, you'll be as powerful as God. So why would he do it? He must have some jealousy. The story of Lucifer also, he fell from a very nice place to a not so nice place from the seed of jealousy. And the prodigal son, he didn't have jealousy, but he had another issue. Does anybody know the story of the prodigal son? Raise your hand if you know that story. Prodigal son is a son who lived in a very wealthy, nice family, but he had some teenager issues, some independence issues. He wanted to do his own thing. And he ended up leaving his home. And he ended up living in a pig's pen. So those three stories, those three biblical stories, are good analogies from the Vedic side of how the soul came to the material world. All three stories, they started off a nice place, and they ended up a not so nice place. And now we are in that not so nice place called the material world, Martya Loka, place where people have to die. And so those are considered wise. Instead of trying to make a really comfortable place in your jail cell, get out of jail. Get out of the prison. Don't, you know, like, well, I like my prison. I got, you know, some nice decoration, and you know, I put some drawings on my toilet there, and you know, get out of the prison. Don't hang around there. It's not so great. When you're used to it, you might think it's all right, but there's so much more out there than the prison cell. So yeah, spiritual world's eternal, and material world is manifested again and again and again. Anything else? Shri Shri Radha Kalachandra ki, Bhagavad Gita ki, Gaura Premanande.